Hi everybody, we're going to be talking about the Culture Summit in Abu Dhabi and a new art gallery that's opened up on Saadiyat Island.
We're also going to be chatting about the Indian wedding that has taken over the internet this week and paying tribute to the unique fashion icon, Iris Apfel.
This is Culture Bites coming to you from the National News. I'm Inas Rafai.
And I'm Farah Andrews.
So,
hi.
Hi. It's been a while.
1 week.
It feels like four.
Yes. But we're back. Last week was busy. A lot happened.
It's been a bit manic.
Away from work and at work.
Yeah.
But we're here.
We did an episode from Art Dubai.
Which I missed. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you did miss. We did miss you as well. So it's okay that you're sorry.
But you guys were incredible.
Yeah, thank you.
I loved the episode.
I know, man is about town today, so he won't be joining us.
Yeah.
But yeah, last week we were about town
you
together.
You were a double act last week. A
double act in Art Dubai. But it was really fun. I did learn something probably very unrelated to art.
Tell me.
Which was don't wear heels at an event you're at all day.
Oh, hun.
I know. Basic error.
How many hours were it?
Probably about 10. Honestly, when I left, I felt like I was walking on golf balls. I was like...
Well, like, okay, I actually can't picture this outfit, so talk to me about how high these heels were.
And then they were kissing heels. I'm 6 foot, I don't need them.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, you, but still,
yeah,
big
it
day
was
not
great.
To be wearing trainers, basically.
Yeah, it was a big day not to be wearing trainers. But no, it was great. We got to speak to lots of artists off of camera. So we did speak a bit about the art while we were there last week. But I spoke to the fantastic Aya Haider, who's actually a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
And Malik Thomas I met, who's a Iraqi Scottish artist who lives in Jordan.
Wow.
And his work was just beautiful. And I recognised like some of the Jordanian... like little hints slipping through his artwork. Yes, like the black iris, which is the national flower of Jordan.
Aww.
Which I thought was really lovely. But this week,
yeah. So Art Dubai was last week, and this week has been the Culture Summit. I slept through Art Dubai. I've woken up for the Culture Summit.
And the Culture Summit has been probably like the biggest thing I've seen in Abu Dhabi since moving here.
I'm sorry, you went to Mariah Carey.
Oh yeah, I went to Mariah Carey. But no, we had an amazing, we were invited to the Culture Summit, part of the national being teamed
very
up this
strong
year.
National representation at the
yes.
Culture Summit this year, which was amazing to see.
It was really nice to see, and it just meant that we were front seats
yeah.
for all the action. John Legend joined a dinner on the Saturday.
You love to see it.
Very exciting, very exciting.
That is exciting.
But yeah, just meeting lots and lots of different people from all around the world come to the Culture Summit. So unlike Art Dubai, which is really on like fine art, finite collectors, fine art, you know, artists themselves, curators, I felt like the Culture Summit is a real mix of people.
Like the conversations I was hearing at the, so first, should we describe what the Culture Summit is?
Do it.
The uninitiated.
You do it.
It's kind of 3 days of conversation surrounding every facet of culture. And like culture is obviously such a broad topic. And so it was hosted here in Abu Dhabi. And there were just lots of very interesting kind of keynote speeches, panel discussions, some art performances, some the kind of one-on-one chats. Like there was... just
workshops,
huge broad huge. Topics. I made it down for 1 day, you made it down for 3.
Yes.
Well done.
Thanks.
Well done.
It was really intense, but it was great. I sat next to this woman and I just, you know, off the cuff, where have you come from?
Yeah.
Senegal. Where have you come from? Canada. So
really global.
We're talking Grammy award winning artists were there.
Yeah.
Musicians, textile designers, you know, people who do art as well, like sound designers
and real leaders. Like we had kind of people that kind of are running the top museums in the world and bringing incredible exhibitions here, and like UNESCO representatives. So it was amazing.
Yeah, I totally fangirled because I met like one of the people from the Design Museum in London. Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of my favourite spaces. And yeah, I totally...
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Love your work.
I love your work. So, it was great. It was good fun.
You spoke?
I did. I spoke about the importance of podcasting.
Topical.
It was really, really nice, actually. I was alongside Ramsey. I'm probably going to mispronounce his last name, so I won't. But Ramsey, who runs Salt, which is one of the leading, if not the leading, Arabic-speaking podcast production house in the region.
Love it.
And we spoke together on stage about the importance of podcasting in the Middle East.
Amazing.
The bit of the boom that's happening over here.
Yeah, definitely.
But also, like, what part it plays in culture. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, every little part is significant, and we do have culture bites. And I do think, I'm hoping we're playing a bit of a part in the culture scene here. But it was really lovely, and lots of fascinating questions. Really good to see, like, the audience really engaged in what's going on in the podcasting world and how it's helping to shape this future of kind of like on-demand listening stories. Yeah. Listening stories? That doesn't make
listening
sense.
Listening to stories. I had a I did a panel on reality TV.
I was so gutted to miss this. How did it go?
It was good. It was really good. The people that I had the conversation with were super interesting. There was a TV producer called Mark Lorber. Then there was Maz from Stars Play, who's obviously kind of at, like, they've got so many reality shows on their platform. And Ben Bhandari, who is one of the stars of Million Dollar Listing UAE. And so it was kind of like three very different experiences in the world of reality. There's like me, well, there's four. Me, the audience.
Hey, do you watch reality TV?
Listen, it's a safe space. And then kind of like a star, a producer, a person kind of like facilitating it. So it was a really good conversation, and kind of like talking about where there has to be like cultural sensitivity, the kind of like truth, like the line between truth, like what, like is there like an obligation for honesty in reality TV? Like, it was cool. It was a good chat.
I know. I think those kind of discussions always pop up with like Dubai Bling. Like, is this a fair representation of the Middle East? Is this a fair representation of Dubai?
One of the guys made such a good point there, because it's like, we've never said we're making a documentary.
Exactly.
Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, yeah, you shut it down. Well done.
I think it's true. I think it does have a part to play. And I think it is definitely like helping something, right? It's helping some sort of narrative, like, just widen.
Yeah.
I think that's what I appreciate about reality TV in this region, is just there is one viewpoint of the Middle East, and then there's a few others, and maybe we should just start to take them all into consideration.
Exactly. There is not one individual, and that's kind of where reality comes in. You've had away from the culture summit, there's been more. You've been doing so much this week.
So much. So on Saturday, there was a private kind of opening for the Bassem Freya Gallery, which has just opened up on Saadiyat Island. Now, people are just twitching away, because I didn't even see this building go up.
What happens here, though. You close, you blink. And then all of a sudden, there's a whole new enormous gallery. Like, yeah. I was off work for a week, and I feel like there's like eight new bridges on the highway. But
it literally feels a bit like that. So this is a stunning, stunning space, which has been designed in this really minimalist, distinct way of like the water, the edges. It's free to enter, so you can now go and see all of this collection. And it's very much a collection of, you know, Orientalist art.
Okay.
So it's works of the likes of Fabio Fabi, Rudolf Ernest. Mm-hmm. But I was really taken aback by a painting by a Lebanese artist called Mustafa Farouk, which is actually an untitled piece from around the 1930s. But it's this Muslim Lebanese woman wearing this beautiful like fur, like a shawl. You know those fur shawls with the kind of like very to the scalp kind of little hats? Very, very beautiful. And it's quite near the entrance, so do go and check it out. It's
I really, definitely am going to go down.
You have to.
It's on our doorstep here at work.
Well, it is on our doorstep here at work. And it's just so nice to see like new spaces popping up and displaying their art in this Orientalist. So it was quite nice to see the huge framing of the artwork, like with the kind of gilded frames, but all set in this minimalist, quite like serene space. Really lovely.
I really like the, I've been really buying in to something here, but I like the kind of generosity of the collector, that they have this incredible collection that they aren't ferreting away for themselves and that they're showing in this space. And more than that, free to enter, like that kind of accessibility with art is so important. It's like something coming from the UK that I'm so proud of, that our galleries and our museum spaces that are publicly owned are free to enter. So there's no kind of like, I mean, there's a lot of politics about ownership of art, particularly with the UK, but to be able, like, just a person, anyone can go in and enjoy and consume that art. And it's so special to be able to go and do that. And that doesn't happen so much here because that it is not that kind of like public system, but having these like collectors that are kind of like sharing that, that's, it's amazing.
It's so good. And like in his opening speech, he made it really clear about sharing the stories. Mm-hmm. So he said like sharing the stories, and he made a joke, like he was like, you know, whether they're true or false, but it's still nice to see the stories. And, you know, Orientalist art is, a lot of it is shaped around like the feminine, women from this region, and also like love. And he spoke a lot about like the romantic scenes, the romance of the artwork. They're in the actual art space. So you have the main gallery, and then when you're in the kind of like courtyardy, I would say courtyard space, there's another gallery, which is like another room, which at the moment is displaying, and I met the artist, Sama Al-Shaibi's work. And she's flown over from across the Atlantic, but she's got a series called Carrying Over, and it's all about the representation of Arab women in society. So she's taken these photographs, these like old photographs of Arab women carrying pots, and then she's kind of recreated them with her own image, in just kind of like a way of showing, like, you know, stereotypes, but also, you know, Arab women carrying this load across generations. Really powerful message. So yeah, if you get down there, definitely go and check out the kind of second space, which is in the courtyard.
It's running for a while. It's running until mid-August, right? So yeah, there's time for people to be able to go down and see it.
Yeah,
that's a really nice summer activity I have in my head for good days out. I like this kind of that arty days in the summer, good air-conditioned fun. That's what we need.
Cinemas and art galleries.
Cinemas and art galleries.
So
we're turning a corner conversationally.
We're definitely turning a corner. Now you need to really like tell me about, like, hype this up to me, because everyone's been talking about it and I am still a bit bewildered.
Right.
Over why I should care.
There's no secret that I like a big wedding. We've spoken about that. I like a royal wedding. I like a society wedding. I like a big wedding. Did I think that there was such a wedding as big as what we witnessed this weekend at the Ambani pre?
This is it. It's wedding. Not even the wedding.
Pre-wedding.
So the pre-wedding.
Pre-wedding.
Has created such a buzz. So who are the Ambanis?
Who are the Ambanis? They are Indian billionaires.
Ooh.
Primarily retail, I think.
Okay.
We can say that. Yeah. The Ambani family have a lot of retail, mm-hmm. but I mean, they're billionaires. They've got a lot more investments than just retail. Let's be real. But I don't have their business portfolio here with me to hand. I'm so sorry. But their youngest son,
the youngest, Anant, that's it. He's off the market.
Has got, well, he hasn't got married. He's getting married. He's getting
married. I think it's going to have to happen now.
He's got pre-marriage. So he is marrying Radhika Merchant, and she is the daughter of another very rich Indian family. Her dad is a industrialist called Viren Merchant. So these two, big high society players in India, and they got pre-married this weekend.
Wow. Pre-married.
What does a pre-wedding look like, I hear you ask?
Yeah, what does a pre-wedding look like when you're a billionaire?
A bonanza. bonanza. So they decamped to Jamnagar in India. And so the wedding's actually happening in July. This pre-wedding happened this weekend with 1,200 guests. The guest list was wild. So obviously, like, a lot of
names.
Bollywood royalty.
Obviously.
Very well represented. Very, very well represented. But we also had, so we had like Shah Rukh Khan, Salman Khan, Aamir Khan. The three of them did a performance. Bollywood fans lost their absolute collective minds. They were thrilled. But then also, like, international names on the list included like Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner. And also their daughter. Imagine being like their, I think she's like a preteen child going to like this absolute fiesta. Bill Gates.
Bill Gates.
Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg.
Both of them.
Cash.
Were there. Of course.
Cash.
Zuckerberg wearing like a Hawaiian shirt. I was like, you definitely are in holiday mode.
Good for you. It's a foreign wedding. Yeah. Whip out the Hawaiian shirt, it's Zuckerberg.
Gone. He was wearing a print. Yes, it's just huge, huge guests.
It's a huge wedding. And then we had like, performances as well.
So there's one big name we should talk about.
So the big name was Rihanna.
Rihanna performed.
So I didn't even know Rihanna performed unless it was the Super Bowl.
Rihanna's on hiatus from performing.
And it's been so for a while, but not for Ambani.
I think since I've got the date. She came back 2016. For Ambani. She stopped performing in 2016. She came back for Ambani.
Well, no, didn't she do the Super Bowl though?
But that wasn't a full performance.
Ah.
Super Bowl's like 12 minutes or something tiny.
Oh, wow.
So she did like a full set. There's been mixed responses to her concert. Let's be honest. The internet's played hot and cold. People are mostly like, power move, you got Rihanna to perform at your wedding.
Yeah. Which, pre-wedding.
Sorry, yeah. Not even a wedding.
Not even the wedding.
You got Rihanna to perform at your pre-wedding.
Yeah.
Power move. She performed her biggest hits. She kind of said the right things. I'm here tonight in honor of Anant and Radhika. Thank you for having me. God bless your union. And then like kind of like big up. I mean, I have been guilty of mispronouncing names and I do that all the time. Mispronounce names where I can, but she got the bride's name wrong. And I think Rihanna.
Bless her though. I know what it feels like to be under pressure and trying to get someone's name right.
She had two names to remember.
Okay.
That she got paid millions to remember. I mean, we all make mistakes. I get names wrong. Mm. I'm so sorry to every name I've got wrong. And I try to self-correct.
There might be ways of pronouncing things.
Yeah, true.
You know?
But she did not get it right. However, here's something that I found fascinating. This is like...
Hit me.
Nitty. Was this just a coincidence?
Sorry, guys. We're just witnessing how excited Faro is to tell us this stuff. Let's see if it's as exciting.
Hey, don't set me up to fail. Right, it's no coincidence they got Rihanna, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because the Ambanis own Reliance Retail Group. Guess what Reliance Retail Group bought at the end of last year?
Fenty?
Sephora. Ah! And they're now distributing, they're bringing Sephora to India, which is obviously like going to be a huge market. Guess what Rihanna has? Fenty Beauty. This is basically Rihanna's best ever business move of all time.
Wow.
So, fair play.
I love this for Riri.
See? I told you it was good.
That is good. So, yeah, I mean, who doesn't love Sephora?
Children like Sephora now, and I don't like going in there. I'm going to be honest with you. I go into Sephora and I feel overwhelmed because there's preteens everywhere. And I walk out and I go and I shop online like an adult woman.
I do think that if I do go in there, then it's like... Like, yeah, you just gotta, you know, I'm spending a few hundred dirhams.
When I'm trying to spend hundreds of dirhams on beauty products that I need as a woman in her 30s, and I'm elbow deep in children up to my actual elbows, I'm not a happy customer. That's how I feel.
But don't you like to go and try all things out and like check new products?
Sephora just isn't my playground anymore because it's too busy.
Oh.
There's so many children.
There's so many children.
I was in there a few weeks ago. I was like, "What? We've diverted.
We've diverted completely." But that's an amazing, what a huge deal for India.
Yeah, and also, I mean, props to Rihanna because her makeup collection is truly quite an inclusive collection. Like, you have like actual like a full color spectrum on all of the shades, and so hopefully it is going to be big. Big success. Did you see the groom's mother?
No, I didn't.
Right. Nita Ambani.
Nita.
Is my new hero. For a few reasons.
Okay.
She did like a dance arrival into the wedding. When the time comes that I am the mother of any kind of bride or groom, will I dance into my child's wedding? Yes. Will I dance into my own wedding? No. Will I dance into my child's wedding?
Yes.
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 Also, her necklace. Have you seen what she was wearing? You haven't. I just need to ask that question. Right, I'm going to describe it for you. Just think about a bar of soap.
Yeah, a bar of soap.
10 centimetres-ish?
Yeah.
Now, put that into like a perfect emerald.
Wow.
Pop that on a pendant.
Done.
Surrounded with diamonds.
Bob's your uncle.
Pop in a pair of matching earrings and you're off.
Tell me, was the outfit like subtle to carry?
Yeah, it was quite like a neutral tone.
Yeah.
The necklace was really upfront. I saw something. I've seen, this is not, I've not fact checked this number, but okay. I've seen it being valued at close to $60 million. Collectively passed out. Imagine $60 million for an emerald necklace.
She must have had security with her the whole time.
I think that whole wedding was her security.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, Zuckerberg.
They were her people. Zuckerberg wasn't going to steal her $60 million necklace.
It is a Hawaiian shirt.
One of the other things I saw someone being like, look at Anita Ambani just casually wearing a country's year's worth GDP.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
What a woman.
So yeah, I did not want to end this conversation without referencing the $60 million potential.
Necklace.
Asterisk. Necklace.
Necklace. What a wild thing to pick for a wedding to wear. But anyway, well done.
For your child's wedding.
I mean, when else will you wear it?
For your child's wedding.
When else will you wear it? When else are you going to dance into a party? When else are you going to wear an emerald the size of a bar of soap?
Boom.
And with that, now we finish talking about the Ambani wedding.
But we don't stop speaking about fashion.
We don't stop speaking about fashion. Yeah. So instead of doing our usual man about town, as man is not here.
No, he's off. He's on holiday having a lovely time.
Oh, where's he gone?
He's stayed here.
Oh, he's having a staycation.
He's a staycay boy.
He's a staycay guy. We're going to be talking about Iris Apfel, who passed away.
Yeah. A tribute to Iris.
Yeah. I think she's quite an important person to talk about. And she passed away this week.
She did.
At 102.
102, what a run.
Yes. And fabulous right until the very end. So if you don't know who Iris is, she's probably, well, she was the most fashionable centurion of all time.
Yeah,
I think we can say that. We can say that.
With real confidence.
Yeah, she was born in Queens, in New York, in August of 1921.
She was a businesswoman, interior designer, fashion designer, just fashion bonanza. There was nothing demure about Iris.
No, and she actually climbed to fame really late in life. And yeah. I think this is part of the reason that everybody really warmed to her, was everyone looks at aging like, oh, and then that's it, my life is over. And Iris proved everybody wrong, because she found fame very late in life as this kind of accidental icon. Was it in a book, actually, called Accidental Icon?
Maybe, I didn't
know. No,
that is
her book. Ah. Her book was called Accidental Icon. I think she was photographed on the streets of New York.
And I think she was just always very involved in the New York design scene, right? Mm. Like, she was in interiors, her and her late husband, very designy couple. So they would have been very, in that clique, cool. Yeah. People would have known them. And she wore, I mean, she was very famous for her statement round black rim glasses.
Yep.
And color her use of color and print and texture,
lots and lots of texture. So for anybody who now maybe probably jogged some memories, just saying,
yeah, I think people, so there's, I had like a little, I've obviously had like a real look into her in the past week, because she's exciting. She is an amazing character. Her Instagram bio is probably my favorite. Simply, more is more, less is a ball. Nailed it.
I feel like she should have. Did she, I wonder if she ever came here. I feel like this would have been her motherland. She would have loved it here.
Field day.
Oh, because more is more here, and I appreciate that.
She definitely, yeah, like you said, she kind of became like a big deal in kind of like the '80s and nineties, and then just kind of carried on becoming it's like synonymous with like New York's maximalist approach to everything. Her kind of like, all of her quotes are very like, life is gray and dull, so have fun when you dress. That kind of approach to things, which I just think is lovely.
I think like more people need to do that. I sometimes fall into that boring category really quickly.
I mean, I'm wearing a cardigan today.
I'm literally in beige. What a beige flag.
Your beige flags are my comforts.
Yeah, it's nice.
But the thing about, that I really love about particularly Iris, and so the kind of conversation around fashion and art, and when is fashion art and when is like, is it wearable art, isn't it? Mm. Like, so she kind of, I, in my opinion, like really embodies like wearable art, right? Mm. And I think what was like really cool is that she was recognized as that. So in 2005, so nearly 20 years ago, the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York had an exhibition dedicated to her called Rara Avis, the Irreverent Iris Apfel. And Rara Avis means rare bird. And it was the museum's first time showing an exhibition about clothing and accessories that focus on a living person that isn't a designer. So it was like a really like significant museum. Obviously, the Costume Institute at the Metropolitan Museum of Art is what we kind of really associate with the Met Gala. So this is like kind of 20 years ago, they kind of like start having these exhibitions. That exhibition was so popular that it traveled around the US.
Wow.
And so like her, she's for like, like 20 years been that like a, like her clothes have been like kind of like stand up kind of pieces that are artworks as well.
She's
as
such
like
a muse, isn't yeah. she?
She the description of the exhibition called describes her as an American original in the truest sense, one of the most vivacious personalities in the world of fashion, textiles and interior design in the past 40 years. She has cultivated a personal style that is witty and exuberantly idiosyncratic.
Ooh.
Yeah, she and like has like her real flair was like mixing like high end, low end, like she'd be wearing like Dior and Dolce and Gabbana and mixing it with like thrift pieces and like that was like her way.
Yeah, I read a bit about what she, you know, where her background. So she was taken often to like social and family events by her parents from a really young age. Mm-hmm. So she was like already mingling, you know, she's getting that small talk.
She knows right? how to small.
She knows how to work talk. That room. Yeah. I need to probably take a leaf out of Iris's book.
You can definitely imagine her like just working like every party she's ever been to in like a cool New York loft. Right?
Hi, my name's Iris.
Right to the end.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't envision how she spoke. I wonder if she had like a proper quite New York accent. I love that. And then apparently her grandmother would keep her entertained by giving her scraps of fabric. So you can imagine like just being age and just planting that seed that like scraps of fabric. Did you ever have any weird things that your parents kept you occupied with when you were a kid?
Oh, there was like lots of just like basic, like my grandma and granddad would just basically give us anything to like fill our hands and then be like, go on then, be busy.
Do you know, this is really sad. Oh my God, people are going to judge me. Don't judge my mother if you hear this story now. But my mum would-
Inessa's mum.
Yeah, she would go to, in the UK, you know how you can go to- homeware shops. So she would take wallpaper samples from all these homeware shops and then she'd put them in a big plastic, like, you know, like an old ice cream tub.
Yeah.
And then with a pair of scissors. And as a kid, that was like one of my favorite things. I just sit on the floor and just cut.
So shred wallpaper.
Like tiny, tiny pieces.
That's a fun game.
It's a fun game.
Put
is
it,
it?
Put it back together again.
Is it? Maybe that describes like my love of wallpaper. Do I love wallpaper? No, maybe not. I don't know what it is.
Maybe it's an aversion to wallpaper. That's why you're so paint focused.
Thanks, Mum. It was fun. I liked it. She does listen to the podcast, so she'll remember that.
Yeah, it's cute.
Watching the washing machine.
There's so many layers to this. I don't know if we can go into the cool thing about the Metropolitan Museum of Art exhibition is that all the objects that were shown have been promised to the museum. So I have not read that it's returning. But it does feel like there could be some nice tribute exhibitions that are going to come back, right? Like these pieces have been promised to the museum. She's obviously passed now. So we might see some.
Iris popping up again.
I also think, listen, we're about 6 weeks off from the Met Gala. People are going to be paying tribute to.
Oh, that's a really interesting thing. I think for the Met Gala, we're going to have to do like a real special.
We're going to have to plan. But
and
yeah,
man
she
is going
was
to have to be here for that.
Man will be here for that.
He'll be here for that.
Yeah, she was a real pillar. Love her.
And that's it from us today. Thank you so much for listening.
If you've liked this episode, please follow and subscribe on your favourite podcasting app. And don't forget to tell all your friends and family. Bye.